This is Art Dirt, Ray Dude, coming to you from New York City. Art Dirt, Ray Dude. You said this is a reference, this yellow sculpture is a reference to the Diggers in San Francisco?
Yes. The Diggers group in the mid-60s formed in San Francisco.
Del Cisc?
Experimental theater group. They were big on...
Del Cisc.
My full name is Delbert. So.
Very kind of utopian group.
Del
community anarchists. Self-proclaimed community anarchists. And they would do things where they created free stores where you could go in and get anything you want for free. And like free food. They would give away free food in the park. It was very like, you know, counterculture group. So in order to get the free food, they would build this big 6-foot by 6-foot yellow frame. Just one frame that you would walk through. And the idea was
I want you to talk to Jerry a minute.
Once you walk through the frame, they would also give you a small little 2-inch by 2-inch frame. The idea was that like it would allow you as like a physical metaphor for constructing or deconstructing your worldviews. And kind of seeing
let me see if I got it recorded.
So and also a little one would allow you to like, look through it anywhere you are and just kind of imagine the world as if it were free. Very kind of utopian. And I thought it was very beautiful, kind of symbolic, poetic way of doing it. So this was kind of like a reference to that, and also a reference to the art that was going on at the time. And it was, and it's kind of like
I never heard that before.
Right, which
is
fine.
That is my time.
So it's like this is kind of framing the world, creating this space.
How you doing?
This kind
of
GH.
Well, give me it.
But it also creates that.
Yeah, I'm actually podcasting. Do you mind if I record you?
I'm not gonna do anything.
No,
so
we just talk.
I'm 21.
Pat Carano.
Hi.
We're working on this together.
Yeah. I don't wanna. Only just because I feel subconscious. For no other reason.
It would really be great.
No, well, don't worry about it.
Okay.
Yeah. Less is more.
I'm not in the mood for it.
It's even better.
No, I don't know why. I'm just not. Today's a bad day.
The early stuff.
I'm normally, I would say yes.
I mean, it's like this tape, right?
Oh, it's a fun show. These guys put together. I'll say.
Sir.
I'm talking about that.
I like that guy in the back. The kid in the back. The Memphis kid.
You and I are working on this.
And he was Tom John Tom.
Or maybe I'll come on over. Can I keep this one over?
You'll love coming back to Yasku's farm, just checking it out. I was up there all day today.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I ran a house over by Salisbury, Connecticut. So it's only a few hours away. Yeah.
Where's Salisbury, Connecticut?
Right here. If this is Connecticut, it's exactly in the corner. Right there.
Okay. So then...
It's so in the corner that I can walk across into New York, Massachusetts.
Okay. So that's right in that four corner area.
And then Hudson River would come right down here.
So you're not on the coast at all. You're actually in the woods.
The coast is here in the woods.
I did a performance super Western where I put something over my eyes. I shielded my eyes, but I had it text. And I wanted to see whether writing is memory or whether writing is with the eyes.
There's a lot of red signs.
And I think at this point, I've done all of this blind, so I think it's really... You know, a case of memory now for me, which is really interesting. You know, something that you think is so visual, because I've been asking people about that. You know, if you've been writing long enough, is it visual? Is it something you need to see? Or is it embedded? You've done it so much that it's just a natural thing.
No, what is your name?
So I was just curious about
Steve,
that.
Oh, I see.
So all of this I've done
Temple.
Blind.
It's on Art Academy of Cincinnati.
That I've done. Where I've taken away sort of
so it's the drawing things?
The middle of language. I'm really interested in absence.
Right. Okay, sorry.
And sort of decoding, coding, and the sort of the moments between language and non-language. So I think both are quite
so you're forever
obviously related.
Okay.
And I'm
okay, so we have we'll take some photographs. Tell me about your work. Tell me what this is.
Okay, well, these are with sort of magnetic strip
semester,
and then iron filings
I had been doing
a lot of
like,
three-dimensional space.
Yeah, but it wasn't really coming from
So we really have to get up close to
yeah,
see the...
Yeah, you do. You do. It's pretty, it's intimate.
It was really
intimate.
Kind of insincere.
Oh, yeah, we really have to get up close.
Yeah.
So I sat down and like tried to decide what Steve Irwin is. And I sort of like made lists of things that are
But I took a book and sort of masked out the middle of
And so I sort of narrowed it down to like science fiction.
Interested in that moment where the eye tries to read
That's
kind
of where it started,
really
science fiction and like stream of consciousness.
Just finding that perfect moment.
Well, so you think that you have a feeling then
I'm really interested in like
the actual glyph, the architecture, the aesthetic of
like
how suggests
and also medieval art, like how
Yeah, I would think so. I think it's your eye attempts to read it, but it's not.
And mind just to the visual
is like just something that's about something. It also like is something.
All day, from up and down, right to left,
diagonal.
Now, where is this text coming from?
This is from Helene Cieux, who's a French philosopher, 1960s, 1970s. Female writer, philosopher.
How do you spell the last name?
I just photocopied them and projected them. I like how it becomes this map. It becomes this interesting
territory.
Helene, and she's very much, seems to be poetic, and I just like the way she writes, and the text is actually from Blind Writing, an essay that she wrote.
So what do you feel you're doing?
It's a process in texting the text. Writing.
Yeah.
Where
you're trying to get to something.
I'm trying to get from language in the territory sort of creativity between an artist and a language that takes, you know, what happens when you can't see. But just there's a very fine moment in my mind. Taking away the visuals. So does that make sense? Or
I think that your psychedelic. Yeah. I was like thinking about like symmetry, and so I took these pictures of myself, you know, sort of kissing myself in the mirror, because that's kind of terrifying to me. And then I just started filling in the shapes, and myself.
The writing here is done. I think I might be able to hear.
Pardon?
I could probably clean this up a little bit. See how it's burning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. I mean, ultimately,
so
because it's not
teach?
It says it is. I mean, to me, when I look at this, I go, oh, that's kind of interesting. This guy took this sculpture piece, lugged it over, and stuck it over in these public spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And then people kind of interacted with it.
Right.
Which is kind of very interesting.
Yeah.
Right? Kind of the surprise thing of showing up.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I would love that.
Wait. Let me go by. Thank you. What was it called?
Jack, can you get more?
I see that there's a little latch, lock on this.
I would have loved to do that.
So that you can close.
Log a 6-foot by 6-foot by 6-foot cube. But I don't know. I'm a little torn between telling people if it's real or not.
It's a simulation, essentially.
Yeah, it's a simulation. It's like what if it's real? Which kind of plays with the no place.
The homeless shelter object. I don't hear it.
It's interesting though. So many people, everybody has been fooled. And right now I'm like, when they ask the question,
this is
like,
no
like,
place.
Or like, how did you move it? Like, I don't know how to respond. I guess I can play along and try to like respond.
This is no place.
But then it would become something else if I start lying about it.
Well, it's kind of interesting that sets up a dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ultimately, it's what it's about.
Yeah.
Because if you present this as a piece for homeless people, and you present this as some sort of like outdoor sculpture thing, like, then there's some questions going on, just like what it means to you, or how you do that.
Right. I mean, canal
you're So anyway,
so no, I think there is a problem. Thank you.
No, I'm fine with that. You know what no place means to him?
What?
You know what no place means? So you were saying,
how
do we move over this one? Just in general. Get a little fresh air. Utopia.
Yeah.
Utopia is the translation for no place.
Okay.
We can sit even.
Is the heat on?
No. Why would the heat be on? Make art.
Well, I don't know. I'm like the player, you were saying. Oh, no, I'm like the corporate wife. Matthew Barney.
Well, it is.
You're in utopia. Like, you don't even know it. Like the corporate wife. You know, it's kind of like she shows up when she feels like
me, Gary.
I'm supposed to have dinner with
you. No, because I said, you know, he's going to have to buy
a hammer. What's that? You guys
have to buy a hammer. See, one time I was telling you, and he said,
the opposite.
I know.
Yeah.
Still middle eating.
Yeah. It's got like lots of. It's got lots of.
So I said, to this man, Gary, you're the number of my boss. And even my major itself. So, I've been meaning to post more stuff on the blog.
I didn't know it was there.
Yeah, we were shooting.
We're trying to see how to save the world. He and I have about 40 other people here.
No.
I think we might do it.
Very good. He was dealing with part of it, and belief, and blame, and things like that. So, there's one thing about how a guy, I mean, he's always telling little jokes, little quippy jokes. So there was this one thing about a guy who thinks he's like, you know, a grain, a kernel of corn, a pellet of grain, and his shrink cures him of this, and then he's about to leave the office with a chicken outside. The guy doesn't dare go out in the street because he's afraid the chicken will eat him. And the shrink says, no, we've been through this. You're cured. You know you're not a pellet of corn, you know, a kernel of corn. The guy says, yes, I'm quite aware of this. I'm convinced, but does the chicken know? But that's the whole thing. What the content is, that's what I was content.
Times magazine, the New York Times Online, has a thing called Time Select.
Oh, he was talking about
custody. You know, it's like you have to pay for this part.
You get it online, you mean?
Oh, yeah. It's like one part is free, the other part you have to pay for.
What the hell is wrong with you?
You can't have your public opinion pages. The editorial page, right?
Anyhow, how much
do you pay?
$5 or something, or $10
or you
instead of changing it back to French fries, change it to Tuscany fries. Was it Time Magazine or the New York?
Yeah. New York Times.
As a company, I'm not doing some French, you know.
I try to retrieve something that they want my money, and I said fucking basically in my mind.
But they have one thing where one section called the Opinionator, which is really the first thing I've seen where someone online is hip enough to understand, like, they're beginning to morph. Like what online? No, I'm much more interesting.
Okay.
What they do is they get a guy who reads all the blogs, right?
This is a way to put
and then
is
what he does.
No,
is he comments
no,
on
just, like to knit.
What's happening in the blogs.
I've learned how to knit and
about.
Walk at the same time.
And puts
but only
context.
Certain
blogs. I'm the
multitasker.
But they put him in context.
Okay.
You know, it's really interesting.
When I have all my
so the blogs that this guy sees, he basically culls the blogs off his opinion and excerpts from the blogs.
Right.
But also not just his opinion, but also excerpts.
Opinions and excerpts.
Okay. And who is this guy?
I forget, but he was like
who
a writer.
Who is Keen Blog?
He's a writer who used to write for Slate and wrote for a bunch of other kind of online Wired and this and that.
Okay.
And, but it's really very interesting. So essentially what I was saying
so
was...
So send it to me.
Well, you can't if you don't subscribe to
it. You can cut and paste it and send it to me. No, I don't mean many of them. I mean, you know, some cut and paste like one art. What does he post? One article a week?
No, it's kind of like... Oh, it's an RSS.